the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about fear. How many of you have ever been like just paralyzed by fear? Something happened and it just completely changed everything, right? The way you looked at things, the way that you reacted at that moment. And this is the thing, everything that we have, every emotion that we have, you know, we get and we all have them, right? It's not that you have fear and I don't, or some people don't have fear. We just all deal with it in completely different ways. Over the next 3 weeks, what we're going to be doing is talking about fear and like right now, the whole world this month does everything and gears everything towards fear, right? With Halloween coming and All Hallows Eve and all that stuff going on. And it's about scaring this one and scaring that one. And how scary can I make my yard look? Or how can I do this? Or how can I do that? And it's all about fear. And so that we figured it'd be a perfect time to talk about it, to go through it. Because even though a lot of fears are ridiculous to some of us, you know what? The people that have it, they're very real to them, right? And we don't need to make little or make light of those things, but there are more than 100 different kinds of fears that are actually labeled that this is a fear and have a name to it. And so they can be irrational, but this is the thing that we need to understand. According to the scripture, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear doesn't come from God. Amen? Fear doesn't come from him. And if it doesn't come from him, then where does it come from? The enemy. The enemy is where it comes from. And I saw a list of phobias, and I'm going to share some with you. And I don't think I can pronounce them, but I'm just going to pretend like a preacher and just go through it like I know what I'm talking about. Y'all ready? We make up all kind of words, don't we? Anyway. All right, so acrophobia is the fear of heights. Claustrophobia is the fear of enclosed spaces. Agoraphobia is the fear of outdoors or open spaces. You know, 2 million people on the face of the earth suffer with agoraphobia. It's crazy. All right. Anthropophobia is the fear of people. Cynophobia is the fear of dogs. Kleptophobia is the fear of thieves. Aquaphobia is the fear of water. Brontophobia is the fear of thunderstorms. Dentophobia is the fear of a dentist. How many of you have that one going on a little bit? Wait a minute. My daughter did, man. She's like, oh, it's a dentist. It's a little old lady, man. She's just, it'll be okay, man. All right, skyphobia is the fear of shadows. Cardiophobia is the fear of heart disease. Like, not having heart disease is the fear of it. All right, this is a crazy one, and I have no clue why this is even one. But maybe somebody has it. It's triskaidekaphobia is the fear of the number 13. Like, okay, all right. This one's a fun one, right? Y'all ready? This is the one I doubt I'm going to pronounce right. It's archibutyrophobia. Trophobia. It's the fear of getting peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth. I'm not kidding you, man. But hey, if you got a fear of that, I mean, it's bad. Just stay away from peanut butter. I kind of like it when that happens, but I like giving it to my dog too. I don't know if y'all do. Anyway, so I'm gonna stay away from that one. Amaxophobia is the fear of riding in vehicles. My wife has that when I'm driving. That's what that one is. Anuptophobia is the fear of staying single. Hematophobia is the fear of the sight of blood. Peniaphobia is the fear of poverty. This is one that some of you guys have. Tropophobia is the fear of change. Y'all didn't even know that was a thing, did you? I mean, you knew a fear of change was one, but they gave a name to it. Oh, this is another one. Agliophobia is the fear of pain. Ambulophobia is the fear of walking. Anabolphobia is the fear of looking up. I'm only scared to look up when there's birds associated with above. That's the only time. But some people fear looking up, man. Barophobia is the fear of gravity. And pantophobia, this is the last one that I'm going to share for just a second. Pantophobia is the morbid dread of everything. It's fear of everything. Yeah. Some people actually, these are all clinical names given to fears that people have. And again, sometimes we see fear as being like, that's ridiculous. Why are you scared of it? But at the same time, man, if we look at it and there's a fear and there's an issue and there's a problem, man, how many of you know it needs to be taken care of? Amen? And we all have different fears and some people fear God. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But one of the fear of God that the Bible is talking about isn't that I'm afraid of God. It's the reverence of God. It's putting it in a right perspective. See, I have a fear of snakes. It's not that I'm scared deathly of them and I got to run away and I can't be around one. That's my wife. She's, that's her. I have a fear in the fact that I'm going to respect it. I know some of the ones that I can go around and some of the ones that I can't. And if I ain't sure, I just ain't going around them, right? It's not that I'm scared of them and I have to stay away from them. I have a fear of alligators in the fact that I'm not going to get close enough it can get me, right? But I love to look at them. I love to see them. Right? There's different fears and different things. And when we look at God, the fear that we have, again, is a reverence, man. It's a respect. It's not a fear. I fear my dad at certain times, my father, my earthly father. Not in that he's going to damage or destroy me. My fear with my father is that I'm going to disappoint my father. That's my fear when it comes to my father. You know, my fear of my heavenly father is that I'm going to disappoint my heavenly father. And it's not really a fear of him. It's a fear of me and my insecurities. That's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. And so psychologists tell us, this is the last one I'm going to tell you, is thanatophobia. Thanatophobia is the fear of death. And all of the fears that we have its root in this one fear. That's where they all come from. But this is the thing. If you have a spirit of fear, if you're afraid and you live in fear over a certain thing, you need to understand, and I want you to make clear that you know this morning, make sure that you know this morning, is that that doesn't come from God, and you can have freedom. Amen? You can have freedom. Again, 2 Timothy 1:7, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So if fear doesn't come from God, where does it come from? We already said the devil once earlier, but let me show you according to Scripture. That's one of the things, how many of you know, like somebody tells you a statement for a while and you hate it when they say it, but then it comes like one of your favorite statements, right? Any of you guys like that? No, just me. Okay, all right, sweet. So my dad, man, and some of you guys will know this. My dad, when I used to come and ask him for advice and I used to come and ask him about things, he would say one thing. Dwayne tells me this all the time and reminds me of this. Your dad say this. I'm like, yeah, stop telling me that, Dwayne. That's my dad's line. No, I say, Dad, what do I do? What's this? And the first thing my dad said is, what says the word? Right? What says the word? So in looking at fear and where it comes from and how we get it, I want to look at the word first of all, because this scripture, and I'm going to read this scripture. I didn't know where to put it, but God just kind of laid it on my mind while we were in worship, and I had to sit down and go through it and locate it. But 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this, I have done this so that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. The whole purpose behind this series is so that you're not ignorant of his schemes, so that you aren't controlled by fear and allowing fear to keep you from what God has from you, because that's what it does. The first time in Scripture we see fear is in Genesis. Genesis 3, 8 through 10. And first point in your notes is fear was the first manifestation of man's separation from God. The first thing that we see, the first time we see fear is when Adam and Eve first were separated from God. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from his presence, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. The first thing that we see, the first time we see fear, the first time fear being even a part of the lives. How many of you know there's a lot of things that are in our life today that aren't supposed to be there? They're a product of the fall of man. They're a product of sin in our lives. And a lot of times that fear does the same thing to us. Fear is a result of that and allowing it to control us and be there. But it also comes from a lack of relationship with God. How many of you know you can understand who God is, but not have a relationship with him? You know, we see that several times in Scripture. We see Paul on the road to Damascus, right? The Damascus road. He's following God with all he has. And Jesus stops him. He's blinded. And he says, who are you? He says, who are you, Lord? And he says, it's Jesus who you're persecuting. He knew about God. He had heard about Jesus and he was persecuting it, thinking he was doing the right thing. But when he actually met him for the first time, how many know there was some fear in his life, right? We see all throughout the Scripture, the angel of the Lord comes to Mary, starts talking to Mary. What's the first thing he has to say to her? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. A lot of times the first time we feel God, we don't understand what's happening. We don't understand what's happening, and it's the separation from God that brings that fear in our life, that brings the anxieties in our life. When we understand who God is, things change. The second thing in your notes is fear comes from the devil. It comes from the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's trying to find ways to get to us. And a lot of the times, the only way he can do that is through a fear. Through the fear of the situation, through the fear of what's happening in our families, through the fear of relationships, through the fear, any way that he can get us. And it says that I like to think of him like this, man. How many of you ever seen, y'all ever seen that movie? I'm trying to think of what it was called. Y'all remember that movie? Wasn't it Secondhand Lions? And that lion didn't have no teeth? Right? Isn't that the one that it was? It had a lion that didn't have any teeth, and it was really, really scary, but it couldn't really do anything to you because it didn't have teeth. It just scares. That's how the devil is, according to the Scripture. All authority has been given to Jesus. Right? The only thing he can do is growl at us really, really loud, and we can run in fear. Change our direction. Again, that's my mindset. That's the way I look at it. You might see it totally different. But I hope that you'll understand that in the book of Job, the sons of God come before him and he says, hey, Satan, where you been and what have you been doing? Right? Give me an account of what you got going on. Right? God's in control of everything. Amen? We need to understand that when our issues and our trials and our problems come, that God is bigger than them. Luke 22:31. Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he may sift you like wheat. He does everything he can to take us away from God, to bring us away from what God has, using tricks, temptations, mind games, evil imaginations. How many of you have ever been dealing with evil imaginations? Like parents, especially when your kids are out. Like they don't come home, they're 5 minutes late. No, they didn't call. You can't call them. Their phone died, whatever. They turned it off probably, maybe. I don't know. My kids aren't there yet, but I'm sure it's coming, right? But the evil imaginations that take over. I'm going to tell you what, man. When I was going through this procedure the last couple of weeks, I mean, millions of people go through this and nobody has any issues. But you know the fear that was in my heart because of what was coming? Not just the procedure, but what he was going to say afterwards, more so, right? Fear takes a hold of us, and it's the devil who tries to put those things, and this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to take our focus off of God and put them on the situation. He wants us to take our focus off of God and put them on our inability to overcome these situations on our own. And then he wants to put that in our mind that we are all alone. That we're all alone. Nobody goes through what you got. You're the only one. You're just weird. I mean, I know I'm weird, but I ain't the only one. See? That's how it works. We all go through certain issues. We all go through certain things. And the enemy wants to use fear to separate us from Christ. to separate us from what God wants to do and can do in the situation, because everything we get from God, y'all are going to get tired of me saying this statement because I say it all the time, but it's a true statement, so it works out. Everything we get from God, we get how? By what? Faith. Fear and faith are the opposite. You cannot have faith if you're living in fear. Can't. And fear can't come in and be a part of your life if you're living in faith. Because faith is trusting in God, right? In every situation. Believing that God's going to take care of your issue. Believing that God is bigger than your issue. And believing that God is going to take care of you. See, those are the things that we struggle with. It's not, is God big enough? It's not, can he take care of it? It's, will he do it for me? But how many of you know? Are you his child? What father wouldn't take care of his kids? Amen? Now, my father dealt with me in ways that I didn't like. My earthly father did, right? There were some things my earthly father did to teach me and to show me things that I'm like, this is horrible. I ain't never doing this when I'm a grown up. And you know what? I'm doing them same exact things now that I'm a grown up. Right. I'm like, I understand. Sometimes we don't understand what God's doing. Oh, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I'm afraid that the serpent deceived, that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That your mind will allow you to walk away from what God has. That your mind will bring you to a different direction. Because listen, man, the grace of God is never taken from you, ever. Can't be. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but it can't be. But how many of you know we cannot see it in the middle of our situation and feel like it's not there? Jesus, man, tempted by the devil. He played mind games with him after 40 days in the wilderness. Matthew 4:1-11, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And then the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you're who you say you are, if God really is what he, you know, then just make him do it. How many of you know you don't make God do nothing? Right? But how many of you know he does everything for his kids? You know what? Jesus could have done that. He could have. He could do miracles. He could do. There's signs and wonders that came, but again, all of them came from the Father. And if you notice, not here, but next. But he answered him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the devil took him to a holy city, and he placed him on the pinnacle. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. What the devil did right there was take the word of God and twist it to mean what he wanted it to mean. He quoted God's word. Let me finish reading, and then I'm going to tell you that point I'm about to share with you. Jesus said again, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. And the devil again took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said, all of these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you should worship the Lord your God with all the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Again, Satan wants to take our focus off of God, and a lot of times what he'll try to do is use scripture in a way that's inappropriate so that we follow in the wrong direction. You know how that happens? Number 3 in your notes. The only way that can happen is because of a lack of knowledge. You know, reading the word of God, praying, all those things, you don't have to do those to be saved. Well, you have to speak to God, pray. You know, accept his son. But other than that, man, this is the thing. Those things don't save you, but they allow you to understand the full potential of your life in God's hands. That's what they do. the word of God that's there, the promises. So y'all get ready for a series, man. Last week while John was preaching, you know what I started thinking about? I'm going to preach on. I'm going to go through all the promises of God, what the word of God says. Because how many of you know you can't stand on a promise if you don't know it's a promise, right? You can't stand on a promise if you don't know it's there. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I guarantee you half of us don't understand the promises of God in the word of God. I'm not belittling anybody. I'm gonna say me too. I guarantee you I don't fully understand all the promises that are in this book. Why? Because we learn different things. We see different things. Every time we go through it, there's something different. Every time we read a scripture, God brings a new revelation to us about that scripture and in our lives because of where we're at. And I guarantee you there's some stuff God hasn't showed us yet because we're not ready for it. But this is the thing that the scripture says about a lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13, it says, "Therefore my people go into exile for a lack of knowledge. Their honored men go hungry and their multitude is parched with thirst." Hosea 4:6 says this, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge." Why is it important that we have so much knowledge? Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:4, it says, "And Jesus answered them, see that no one misleads you. See that you're not pulled a different way." The scripture tells us in the book of Revelations that in the end days, there's going to be all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of things that are going to pull us away from what God's true word is. And it's up to us to understand what it is. It's up to us to understand what God's word says. And man, listen, I can tell you what I believe all day long, and I can tell you my convictions all day long. But you know what? When you stand in front of God, it's going to be about you and your convictions with him, not me and mine. I'm going to stand for mine. I'm going to stand for mine and what I've given to my family. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I believe as a pastor, I'm going to stand for what I've given to you guys as well. But at the same time, you guys need to get in your word and see what it says. Why is it important? Because it's up to you how you live your life. It's up to you how you follow God. You can't make anybody do it. Man, I wish I could. I wish there was a bunch of people I could make serve God. But I can't. Like, you need Jesus bad, man. But this is the thing. Going back to Paul, man, he thought he was doing everything right for God, according to what he knew. According to what he knew, he was living his life. And that's what he said. He said later on in the scriptures, he's like, man, if you want to put somebody up against the law, my life is as good as anybody's. I'll probably be as good as anybody else. But I still miss the mark so far. Because it's not about what I do. It's not about the rules that I've gone through. It's not about how I do this and I do that and I do that. And man, and most people, when you talk about Christianity, what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, there's a list of rules. And that's not it, man. Again, our relationship with Christ is like the bride and the groom, right? I didn't give my wife. I said, "Listen, here's your rules. This is what you have to do in order to be in relationship with me." How do you think that would work out? She's Cajun, y'all. She light me up. Y'all just don't know. But it's but it's one of those things, man, that a relationship isn't built on what you do and how you do it for me. And if it is, it's not a relationship. It's a manipulation. God doesn't do that, man. We don't have to be afraid. Why? Because he's given us his word. He showed us time and time again how he takes care of his children. He showed us everything in this book. In this book, there is something to deal with every issue we are ever going to face in our life and a solution to it if we'll look for it and we'll be obedient to it. How many know it doesn't do you any good to know what you're supposed to do and not do it? Like, I know I'm supposed to clean my room, but I didn't do it, Dad, right? That didn't work out well as a kid. Doesn't work out well with God either. Jesus said we'll be known by our fruit. We need to not be afraid. We need to cast fear out because we know what God says and who he is. Because this is the thing, ultimately, most of the things that people are afraid of is the things they don't know, the unknown, right? We used to watch that show a long time ago. It's not on for probably a good reason now, but it's called Fear Factor. Did you guys ever used to see that show a long time ago, Fear Factor? They had all kind of stuff. And they would put them in all these places. One of my favorite places that they did is they had this big tunnel that had water and, like, toilet paper and all kind of stuff hanging down, and there was climbing through, and they had to climb through a certain way and get through all this different slime and all this stuff, and it really wasn't anything bad, and there wasn't nothing that could hurt them in there. But what, they were scared because they didn't know what it was. And you see them go really, really slow because they don't know. And you see some people go fast. But the ultimate thing was is they were so scared of something that wasn't even there, right? I used to preach when I was a youth pastor, man. I would preach a sermon on fear, and I would use a bag, and I would tell them that there was something in there that caused most people to seize up in fear, and at the end of it, somebody was going to have to put their hand in it. And I preached a whole message about fear. Every now and then, I'd put a microphone down beside it, and I would have somebody in the back with a microphone and a little plastic bag or paper bag, and they would go. And so everybody like, oh, man, it's making a move. You know, it's doing something. And I would mess with them, right? And then at the end, I would have somebody come up, and they couldn't look, and they would open it, and they'd have to put their hand in, and they would pull out a note, and it said, gone fly fishing, right? It was a little spider or something, right? And the thing is that the whole purpose behind that is because most of the fears we have don't even exist. They're lies of the enemy that are in our life. So how do we overcome these fears? Number four, know who God is. Know what his word says about him, about who he is, about how he takes care of us, about who he is. First, one of the first things that I have, I only have two in here that I'm going to share with you today. There's so many more, but these are the two most important, I think. In Genesis 15:1, is God's covenant with Abraham. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, fear not. So it said, don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. The part I want you to see is that I am your shield. He's our protector. He's the one who takes care of us. He's the one that shields us from a lot of the things that we put ourselves into, right? All the situations, I'm going to be honest, man. When I look back, all the situations that I had in my life were mostly because I was an idiot, just being honest. And I put myself there. My health issues that I have right now, you know what they are? Because I ain't took care of myself for 44 years now, right? If I'd have done things differently, I'd be in a different place, right? But this is what God says. He still shields us and protects us even though we're in those positions. I can look back on my life when I wasn't serving him, when I was running stupid, and I can think of all the times that I should have had things happen that didn't, where he kept the things that I deserved from me. Listen, I'm gonna be honest. People's like, I want what I deserve. You don't really. Like, you really don't, right? You really don't. Because what we deserve, God doesn't allow us to have what we deserve. He takes care of us anyway as his children. Deuteronomy 1:30 says this: the Lord your God, who goes before you, will fight for you, just as he did in Egypt, before your eyes, have I not commanded you? You guys remember, you look back, and the Israelites, they were in bondage in Egypt. Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. Ten plagues come. The Passover takes place. The death angel goes over the houses. Pharaoh lets them go. They start running away. They get to... You always wonder, like, why did God lead them to the river? Like, why did he lead them to the Red Sea? Like, why? Like, he could have went around the Red Sea, right? He could have took them that way where there wasn't any obstacles, and they could have just kept running. But why did he do it? You want to know why? To take away the fear that they had that they're always going to be chasing us. To show them how mighty he is, and that he's going to take care of your every need and every issue. And it's not going to be that you're going to have to worry about it again. It's going to be that it's going to be final. Just like Jesus said. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. It's finished. It's over with. God fights for us. If we let him. If we let him. If we get out of the way and let him. Joshua 1:9 says this, "Have I not commanded you, be strong, be courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God is always with us, and he's always going to take care of us. We need to remember that in the midst of our issues, in the middle of our problems, in the middle of our trials. The next thing we need to see is that he is our Father. Galatians 4:6, "And because you are the sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." I've told y'all this before, but how many of you remember as a kid running up on your front porch because dad was about to come out, and all them kids that was chasing you couldn't touch you because dad was here now, right? Amen. Yeah, go ahead. Here's my dad. Talk something now, right? As you just ran away from him, right? Y'all probably didn't do that. I did that a couple times. Just being honest. It's one of those things. Like, I remember, I ain't gonna go there. Again, God is our Father. He takes care of us. And this is one of the Romans 8:15 says this, For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So he's brought us out of fear, and we didn't receive that spirit to fall back into it. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Again, he's our Father. He's given us not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. How do we have that power? Because we stand in him, in Christ, in what Christ has done in our lives. Love. He gives us love, not just for us, but so that we understand how to love other people. How many know, until you love something, you don't really understand what love is? You can think you know what it is, but it's not true. The only reason why we know love is because he first loved us. And we didn't receive that spirit to make us slaves to fear again. The next thing we need to understand as we go through this, and it's number 5. I think it's the last one. This is the last point, right, y'all? Yes. One thing we need to, and Pastor John talked about this a little bit last week, or actually a lot last week, but we need to know that the love of God is not fragile. And it doesn't go away from us. Hallelujah. The ability to overcome fear and to rise above sin comes from the assurance that God loves us and that we have his favor. So when the angel came and spoke to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Acceptance. And it's undeserving. We don't deserve it. So how many of you know that same favor lies on you and me? He loves us. Now, we're not going to carry his son, but you understand the favor that comes through his son because we're his children. I had a thought. I ain't sharing it. It's not right. Sorry. It is right, but it just, never mind. Romans 5:8. Let me go on. "But God showed his love for us in that while we were sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us." See, he even knew we were going to have issues. I love the fact that at the Last Supper, and when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, that he washed Judas's feet, knowing he was about to go out and do what he did is going to do to him. Showing him that no matter what you do, man, I still love you. No matter what you do, I still want to take care of you. No matter what you do, I still sent my son to die for you. Romans 8:31-39, it says, "What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us?" How can that drive away fear in our lives, that we understand that God's for us and that he's in control and that he can take care of everything? Then whatever issue comes to us, why are we worried? It's easy for me to say that right now because I'm here and I'm not standing in the middle of my issue right this moment, right? But why? Why do we turn away from, or why do we not look at God, and why do we worry about even trying to handle situations or stuff instead of just giving it to him and not living in fear, not walking through fear? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give him graciously, also with him graciously give all things? He doesn't just stop at giving us forgiveness through his son. He takes care of every issue, every need that we have. That's what that scripture says right there. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who raised and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So in the middle of our situation, in the middle of our trial, Jesus is sitting beside God, talking to God about our issues and our situation and who we are, and interceding, pleading for us. That should make you happy right there. That should make you happy right there, that he cares about me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. Understanding that, we shouldn't be living in fear. We need to remember those things. This is one of those scriptures that you need to put in your heart, like David said. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know what? This is one of those ones you should memorize. This is one of those ones that you should always keep. So that way in the middle of your situation, you can understand, God, you're in this situation because the word of God says that nothing is going to separate me from your love, and you're going to take care of everything that I have, even this issue. Because some of you know, this issue is not near as big as hanging on a cross for the sin of all mankind, right? No matter how bad it is, it's not that bad. He's there. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So that, like Psalms 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though I'm in the middle of everything, the worst part of my life, God, you are there. And you're going to carry me. And when we understand God's word, when we understand he's our Father, we understand we can come to him for anything, then we can continue to remember Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Worship team, would you guys come back up? Deliver me from all my fears. As they're coming up, man, I want you guys to bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to be honest with me today, man. How many of you are battling some fears in your life that you need to let go of? Just put your hand up and put them back down. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over, man. We all face fears. We all go through issues. We need to understand that God is in control of them all. And as we get ready to pray in just a minute, man, we're going to lay those at his feet. And I want you to pray. I want you to talk to God. And I want you to say, God, this is my issue, which you already know. These are my fears. And I'm giving them to you this morning. Before we get to that, one of the main reasons why we fear, the first thing that I pointed out was our separation from God. Maybe this morning, man, you feel separated from God. You feel like he's not a part of your life, or maybe you haven't given your life to him, or maybe you feel like you've walked away. Scripture's clear, man, that he's always there. All throughout the Old Testament, it says, turn back to me. Turn to me, and I will hear you. Second Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn their face. It says, then will I hear their lands. Then will I bring restoration. And when that happens, man, fear is gone. Today, man, God, you're a child of God. Maybe you don't feel that way, but you want to have that knowledge in your mind, that peace in your heart. You want to make things right with Him this morning. Just to put your hand up and put it back down. Just put it up and put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I want you guys to say this prayer with me again. It's not this prayer that does it. We're just confessing with our mouth. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. Your Son died for me. I accept it now. My sins can be forgiven. I can have access to you, my Father. Be part of the family. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to take this time just a second. I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, the fears that I have in my life, the fears that we face in our life, God, you know what they are. Right now, as we sit here and say to you, Father God, what those fears are, what we need taken away from us as we place them at your feet, Father God, as a symbol of us placing them at your feet, God. I ask that you would take these fears. You'd allow us to see you in our situation, in the middle of what's going on, the trials, whether we've put ourselves there or not, Father God. You are faithful to us when we cry out as your children. You take care of us. You love us. We ask that the fear in these situations would be gone from our lives and that we could truly see you and who you are and how you're handling these situations, Father God, and the good that will come from the issues that we're facing now, how we can be overcomers in you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I need you guys to do something for me. We have some lists out there in the front. We're having our fall fest next Sunday evening. Come and hang out. We got some lists as to what you can bring, man. Some chili and sides and desserts. And there's some lists out there on the table. Go see that. Also, don't forget to see Dwayne out in the front if you want to get some tickets or just donate to Rusty's thing next Sunday. He'll be here again next Sunday to do the same thing again. But let's go out and love people. Amen. Let's go out and share the love of God that He's given to us with everyone we come in contact. Starting with the waitress, the waitresses and the waiters and the people at the restaurants that we're going to, or Walmart or something, where you go in them lines. That's crazy right there, y'all. You need some love of God right there in them lines at Walmart, right? We're going to stand up and sing. Stand to your feet as I get ready to pray. We're going to sing one more song before we go out this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that according to your word, you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We thank you that we get to see you work in our situations, that we have access to you. We're your children and you love us. We thank you, Father God. Help us see you more than we've ever seen you in a way we've never seen you before in our lives, Father God. Let us see the restoration that you bring, the healing that you bring, the blessing that you bring. And the grace is above all of those that we see through your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.